G'day listeners, you're here with Benny Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy.
Now, we are guessing you're not just listening to this podcast for our jokes, you are listening because you are serious about your NBL fantasy.
But how serious are you? Are you serious enough to compete in a league where three out of the four teams that made finals were ranked in the top 15 overall?
Are you serious enough that you want to get the advanced stats to win your home league?
Do you want to take part in fantasy banter from a group chat that includes multiple top 10 finishing coaches and Benny and Banksy?
Are you interested in winning the entire NBL fantasy competition?
Well, like the last two winners of NBL fantasy, you should consider becoming a Patreon supporter.
With prices of $1, $5 and $7 per month, find the level of support that suits you best with no ongoing commitment.
Group chat, advanced stats,
weekly newsletters, cheat sheets,
Patreon leagues with prizes, and Banksy's Captains exclusive from round four.
Head to our website and click the link, or head directly to www.patreon.com/basketballblokes.
G'day there, it's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I gotta say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever so helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denna Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby and I'm the coach of the McValentines. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.
All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dal of the Dover. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking Roland with Big Jook Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will That Thrills and Kai Soto from the Fills, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. With a bullet spear force with Sobey and Tyrell, when the law's headed west, only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And we've just got off the Skype session with Liam Santamaria, NBL fantasy royalty.
My real lord.
And you two have changed your teams completely.
Well, it's something that we're going to have to do. It's about 10 past 10 here right now. Mm-hmm. And we did get off the Skype with Liam some time ago, but instead of pushing on with recording this podcast, we did just head back to fantasy.nbl.com.au to have a little bit of a fiddle around with some players, which we will bring up certainly in this podcast as well.
I didn't have to make too many changes, was it right?
Yep. The Oracle was on the money apparently already.
Head
confidence,
wobble.
Confidence
head wobble.
But that's not the biggest news that we've got.
No. Banksy, tell the Patreons what they have created for us.
I'm used to these late nights because I've been in lengthy chats with a Russian coder that we hired to get some live scoring up. Oof. Just in time for round one. So if you've been making your daily visit to basketballblokes.com, you'll see structurally and functionally we've got some live scoring up. Obviously, we'll make it pretty as time goes on, but big thank you to all the patrons out there. As promised, if it wasn't for your support, this wouldn't be happening. All that patron support has gone to getting us some live scoring on site for NBL 22. A little bit of work to go on the mobile version. That'll be all rigidage come round one.
Rigidage.
Yep. Rigidage. Good. But
because we know Banksy's the fiend that has his mobile on with the live updates all the time through AFL. So he'll do that for NBL now too.
That's it. But all I wanted was just something functionally working for our live scoring for our games come round one, and it looks like it will be there. And we'll obviously develop it over time thereafter.
Might have some teething problems.
We no doubt.
Possibly.
But
so look, hang in there with us.
That's right.
Don't write us off on the first game or two, but
yep,
we think it looks kind of good.
Well done to the Patreon supporters for getting us to this point.
Thanking you.
Well done to Vladimir to getting us to this point.
Vlad.
And yes. Well done to you guys. I mean, this is the podcast. This is the grand final of finals month that has turned out to be in the build up to everyone starting their round one fantasy teams. Now, we could have probably not done that and just had one podcast with Liam. It's that bloody good, to be honest. That, but nonetheless, hopefully we've been able to provide some entertainment and get you thinking about NBL fantasy and get the excitement growing, which it certainly is. The old countdown timer on the basketballblokes.com, greatest website for NBL fantasy, is ticking down. And today we are doing our round one preview show, and we're going to get straight into the NBL Fantasy News.
NBL Fantasy News.
I guess hot off the press in the last 24 hours, the NBL made an announcement that NBL Fantasy has an official sponsor for this season in Bulk Nutrients. So they've got on board as a sponsor. Winner gets an additional $1,000 worth of Bulk Nutrients voucher on top of the $5,000 cash, $500 store NBL
Not
store voucher.
Not too shabby.
Not bad if you want to, you know, bulk up in the off season. Weekly winner gets $100 Bulk Nutrients voucher, personalized with their personalized jersey, and the game day winner gets a Bulk Nutrients subs pack along with their $25 voucher. So not bad.
Free.
Not That's bad. It. Good Look, size. Yeah. After you get your Bulk Nutrients down, you'll be good size.
that's not too bad. I was they sponsor the Jack Jumpers, so they're a big supporter of basketball, which is great to see. I was a bit concerned about the product placement, given that, you know, what I envisaged the stereotypical fantasy player to be. Maybe I'm thinking myself, but they do have meal replacements. So even if I win it won't go to waste. So I was seeing the Daniel's Donut sponsorship, thinking that might have probably suited me a little bit better.
I think you can get a nice protein shake to just balance it out every day or something, mate. All right.
They got full-on meal replacements. So
full meal replacement.
That's it. Excellent. So that's what I'll be spending, hopefully, my multiple vouchers on.
All right,
this
well, they're not paying us for this ad, so let's cut it there. What else?
It's prizes. That's what we're looking forward to. So, the other news. So, the New Zealand Breakers game against Southeast Melbourne is going to go ahead. That was in some jeopardy with Walsh considering two senior key players and the coaching staff, COVID positive and unlikely to participate in this first game. We await news for the second game against Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. So, going to talk generally about how we're going to deal with some of this situation, but also just some general tips for round one lockout. It is a bit unique compared to the week to week because we've got unlimited trades generally after the first player's lock. So, on Friday, Tassie, Brizzy, Perth and Adelaide players will lock when their game starts. First question to you blokes. As your team stands now, after Friday, how many players will you have that are not locked? So not Tassie, Brizzy, Perth or Adelaide. As it stands at the moment, prior to the Liam Santa Maria podcast, I would only have one, being Brockhoff.
I'll be probably pretty similar, but I want to listen back to that Liam podcast because it could either be 10 or none, just judging on that information that I've got to juggle.
I'd currently have 4 that are unlocked.
4, okay. So, probably less so for Bordy, but for Banksy and myself, just shows that there's not going to be much flexibility. So, we might not find out who these two players are by the time potentially the entirety of your team is locked.
Rest, yep.
It might just be, you might have one spot left like me. So you're not going to have much flexibility at all finding replacements. There won't be downgrade targets, or you won't be able to do a downgrade upgrade to get you out of that. So one tip I wanted to say, if you do have a Breakers player and you can swing it. One move may be to put the Breakers player into your sixth man position. That way, if it is possible, it gives you maximum flexibility in potentially having to cover yourself.
Potentially. Very smart. But we're not going to know, maybe, as it looks.
That's it. So, Banksy, given you're the captain's man, tell us about the rules with captains as far as this round one lockout will go.
Do not get caught out. We see coaches every season get caught out here. And like it or lump it, captain and vice captains lock at the start of the first game. So even if your player isn't playing in that first day of games, it will still lock. Yeah, and you will not be able to trade that player out. You will not be able to change your captain. So you don't have until 9:30 to pick your Wildcat or 36ers as captains. Have it locked in before 7:30. You will not be able to trade or move these players between 7:30 and 9:30.
That, if there's anything to take away from this podcast, that is the main thing. Do not get caught out with the captain's scenario. Other news, moving on from that. CJ Bruton on Clutch Radio, and congrats to Tommy Hirsch's role on the calling gig for Clutch Radio, which he spoke about yesterday or tweeted yesterday. CJ talked about Kai Soto. Now, the quote was, "I plan on playing him meaningful minutes and you won't see him stuck at the five. I will play him at the four spot." Definitely, that was the quote. And having talked to Liam since then, it's a bit of a cooler, I'd say, on that's how I kind of took it at. But make sure you listen to that podcast as well. So just generally, I'm just going to ask you boys, is Soto in consideration in your lineups at the moment?
I've not heard it, but upon reading it, I instantly thought that CJ plays fantasy. Because we've been hoping for a 250K that we can get on our benches with confidence to help with that fantasy structure. But I don't know. It's going to depend on Hump as well.
And yeah, let's talk about Hump. Oh, let's go to potentially, I guess, the next segment then. Do you think? That's not a bad little segue. Let's go to the injury report.
The injury report with Dr. Boyd.
Sorry, listeners. It's still getting me every time I hear that. So we might have to rehearse that a couple of times. All right, the big news, I guess the teams that we're at, we were just talking about Humph. So let's start with Humph. We'll play, apparently, is the word we're getting. Nothing official, I think, has been mentioned anywhere. So could be like Banksy's leg way back in the day. Not really that, nothing wrong with it. So
it sounded like there was just a plan to nurse him through the blitz.
Yeah.
And I think we probably didn't imagine that he would be nursed through the back end of the blitz where he wouldn't play any minutes.
I think he'll play. The red flag for me is, will he play a reduced amount of minutes? And look, the blitz certainly makes you think like he might not play 30.
Yep.
But then he could come out and get a 50.
Humph could get a 50 off 20.
Correct.
I don't know.
Also with the double in round two.
Correct.
So how does this impact Soto then? If does that make you feel better about Soto, or is there still too much of a big man mix in there?
I wouldn't be starting Soto. That's correct. My one thing.
Definitely.
Correct.
Now, on the bench, you've got to remember, if you need to hit some of these 250K players, right, your bench only scores half points, okay? So if you've got the flexibility of, say, you've got someone on your bench that might be a PF slash center, and you've worked your schedulizer around so that you might not actually ever have to play Soto for the first five or six rounds, actually on your starting bench. There's not a lot of difference between having Soto getting a 10, so you're only getting 5 for him, and someone else getting a 20, so you're only getting 10 for them.
If you're picking Soto, right? you're picking him for cash. You're not
correct.
Picking to play him.
Correct. So,
and what can you do with the 300K from
correct.
Majok?
That's what you need.
So,
what you need to think
beautiful.
About.
Okay. We're warming up.
I guess with the situation,
Soto's been in my side a couple of times, and he's been out of side a couple of times. He's been back in there a couple of times, and then he did the hokey pokey, and he turned around, and I can't remember where he is at the moment. Where is he?
And then we have
he's not in there. And he's then not in there at present.
Okay,
but
what scares me is DJ's playing 30 minutes. Bairstow's look pretty good.
Malu was mentioned by Liam,
and if Hump is healthy, there's 25-30 minutes there. So
I think they would have a whole country that would be unhappy about that. So I would think that there's a bit of PR involved, unfortunately. Or fortunately, whichever you prefer to look at. And look, the kid's raw, but I think he's got some skills. And I think they're going to have to play him because they're going to have to see what he's about. It's a three-year deal he's on, correct? 2 years? 3 years.
Option in the last, I believe.
Yeah, so option. You don't want to piss him off because he looks like he could be a baller. And if you piss him off and he goes elsewhere, a la Mojave, you know, then you miss out.
Yep. All right, some more injuries. What else we got there?
All righty. What else? Norton's the big one, I guess, with Perth playing the double in rounds 1 and 3. Norton's out for an extended amount of time. I think they're saying possibly up to 5 weeks. Was announced earlier on the Perth. Well, Perth have announced it that he won't play. So obviously that is going to have fantasy ramifications,
which we will talk about.
There's a possibility that Blanche is going to be back this round. Maybe not the first game. Maybe the second game is the talk. But he has been training. He trained yesterday. Word on the
what's the ramification there?
Well,
Vex Benny's bold call.
Stick him on the bench. They're not going to risk him. I read the article.
No, they won't. I think they'll very slow. Yeah, they'll be slow with
Jack White's training, but he isn't coming back this month.
No, exactly. So I think they'll play it slow. Norton's the big one. Obviously, that brings into the name that keeps getting mentioned is Zunic. I think we're going to talk about it a little bit later, so let's park that for there. The other one that's probably the biggest fantasy ramifications at the moment, and I noticed there was a injury update put out by the NBL today, which, funnily enough, only had two teams on it.
Yeah.
Melbourne and South East Melbourne. Joe Chi rolled his ankle. It's been talked about a lot over playing for China in the FIBA qualification games. But he is back in Melbourne. I think he arrived early this morning, if not late last night. I'm told the pain threshold for the ankle is very low, so they're very confident that the ankle won't keep him out of the game. But Sem is sort of saying it might be a game time decision based on him, you know, recovery. He's done the flights are like 10 hours each way, I think. So he's done 20 hours of flying plus played 2 games of basketball in the last week. You know, that's a pretty full on load. Let's say they're playing New Zealand. Let's say a couple of players are, well, it looks like a couple of players are out for New Zealand. Will they take it easy and maybe rest Joe for the first week? That's a big risk, big red flag. So I would be keeping an eye on all things Sem, socials, etc. to work that out.
Great round 2 potential trade target.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's how we look at that now.
Exactly. I was about to say that. I think Joe Chi's not a round 1 fantasy player.
You can afford to wait the 1 week.
Yeah. And even still, he might come and he might only play 10 minutes, you know, which is...
Well, that's the worst case scenario, isn't correct. It, for a fantasy coach?
I'd be thinking he is a week 2 pickup at this stage.
All right. And the reason he would be a week 2 pickup is because of the schedule. Now, Banksy, you're going to talk about the early schedule as we head into week 1.
Failing to plan is planning to fail. It's time for the schedulizer.
Banksy.
All right. Anyone that is playing fantasy knows that there's two teams on the double, Adelaide and Perth. Adelaide, the lone team with the back-to-back doubles. And then obviously it picks up in round 2 with multiple teams on the double.
Need an adjudication on who to trade in this week? How about a ruling on who to sit or start? Let's see who submitted their case for judgment in the fantasy full court.
All right, so first question came in from Mark. Should I load up with a full team of players on the double to get off the mark?
Get off the mark.
Oh, get off the mark.
Oh, goodness. Fast. Get off it, Mark. And from Gary?
Okay, we're reading them all out. How many players, Gary Flynn, how many players on the round 1 double do you have on court?
I think it can be done as a joint sort of question. So I think we can give a little bit of evidence. At the moment, my entire starting team is on the double as it stands. So I think that in still loading up with a team full of players on the double, I wouldn't frame it like that. I wouldn't say at the cost of players that you like on your bench. For example, Majuk is one of my starters this week. He's counted in that. There's also a shooting guard that's cheap. That's one of the potential cash cows that we might talk about later on. So they're on the double, but that's, I don't have Cotton, for example. I haven't loaded up.
Right.
So I wouldn't. So I'd be curious to see how your team's looking at the moment.
So on the double with my starters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 6 are likely to be on the double. And Cotton's the one that is forever in and out of my team, which affects my structure.
I'm guessing Bordy's got 2. How's
I've got 3 at the moment.
Okay. So really
3 different. Of the 6.
And so how would you then obviously ask him, answer Mark's question? No, you should not.
I don't ask questions. I don't answer questions from Mark. No, I'm just joking. should you load up? Depends if you want to try and win the round, I guess. If you want to try and win the Recre prize or if you're playing the long game. And it depends on what you're looking at for round 2, round 3, etc. Because you need to be... You only get 2 trades a round. So if you're loading up at round 1, there's at least one of the teams that's on a double round 1 that isn't on a double round 2. So are you going to be handling having all those singles play that next round? Or have you got players in that position, you know, position to play it?
I think the question almost is, are you playing the points game straight up from round 1 or are you playing the cash game from round 1? Because if you're going to start with your Laws and Cottons, which I'm contemplating at the moment, just based on the prices of the players this season, they're unlikely to increase and they could very well, just with an average game in there, lose a lot of value, whereas there's so many players we're expecting to increase in value. So
And just on that
22.
Loading up, we put a poll out, which was really good. I'm not too sure which one of you blokes did it. Really good question. Banksy, hand up. Good work by you, Banksy. Cotton and Law, are you starting with both Law, Cotton, or neither? And both, 35% said they've got both in there. 35% just Law, 10% just Cotton, and 20% fading them both. So, I've gone for the balance option of Law only at the moment. Just interesting poll results. That the 35% people, I would say that means that people really are loading up early.
Do you know what's interesting about that? It's completely conflicting with the ownership numbers. Do you know who the most owned player in the competition is right now? Bryce Cotton. Yeah. And Vic Leroy.
Never heard of him.
He's almost has half the ownership of Bryce Cotton.
That is a very good point. So it clearly shows that it's casual fantasy player picking their favorite. Oh, he's an MVP. Got to have him in my side. I broke for the Wildcats. I'm gonna have Bryce in my. Got to have him in my side. So.
Oh, look, there's no doubt he can ball out, and he's obviously, if you're trying to get the points situation, then I think if you're going for points round one, you definitely would have him in your side. But the problem I get is balancing it all out.
Okay, speaking about points, point guards is the next question, and geez, Boydie, I'm letting you have this one, mate.
All right, let's go, Zunich, bench PG. I think the answer could be yes.
So
but it could
I was
be
a lot
no.
less confident prior to speaking with Liam.
Could be no.
So that's a brilliant answer by you, Boydie. Good work. So thanks, Jackson,
so
for your
insightful.
Question. So let's talk through that position.
Can you explain it? Yeah, I can explain it.
So, value point guards, who would you even consider? Who is he competing against?
I didn't know that you were going to ask that exactly.
Well, for me, it's you're going... Feel free to jump in Banksy as well. So 250k, we've got Zunich is the only one.
Yeah, pretty much the only one. Other than that, the
580
one,
for Glover. He ain't no
yep.
G.
Yep. So Glover's 580, and then the other one that is Adnan. Very popular is Adnan, based on his scores in the blitz as well.
And then it's up to the $1 million. So for me, I'm either paying $1 million or I'm going down to Zunich. I had always been playing that $1 million price.
Same.
The entire of the time. Have a listen to the podcast with Liam.
Oh, there's so much you can do with that cash.
But I don't want to pay up for Cotton with it. So it's for me, it would be what can I do to my shooting guard bench players? So
Benny's very anti-Cotton, isn't he?
Very anti-Cotton. Yeah. I am too, actually, for fantasy, to be honest. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's something structurally I don't want to do, up for Cotton. At the moment, the yuck part of my team is the cheap shooting guard that I've got in there. I could make that one of $1 million imports.
Yep.
with the extra money, but I really like the $1 million import that I've already got in Majet on my bench.
Yeah,
so,
it's the same with me.
So it depends how you feel about. He's obviously a viable option now. I think we would all agree that he's viable. We would not.
It seems that he is viable, yes, but there is red flags there. Frazier is apparently fit and will play. Like, he might not play 30 minutes, he might not play 20 minutes, he might play 10 minutes. They've got White there, who's a general, who's a defensive stopper. You saw what he did to... What's his name? I've lost his name.
Ah, fended off.
Yeah, what's his name?
Come on.
From
you did his clip.
Hannes,
yeah. Dusty. Oh, bloody Dusty. Jeez, fended off. I should have picked up there too. It's very late at night. I'm an early bed, early riser. Yeah, look, I think White's going to get a lot of minutes, I think, with Norton not there. What did he have through minutes-wise? He's averaged around about 20-ish for the Blitz, Kevin White is. So yep. I think he still gets at least that.
We should have mentioned him as another option earlier.
He might be a cheap option.
I wouldn't do it either.
But
he's had games where he plays 30 minutes and scores zero.
Zero, yeah. He's a defensive stopper. He's not there to do it. Although he has been shooting three a little bit in the Blitz, so he's obviously been working on that in the offseason.
This is my main problem with Zunic. And we kind of talked about it. If
there's options.
If it pays off...
Cotton could play more.
It
Frazier
is
could
great.
Play more. Yes.
If it doesn't...
It's bad.
How many
bad.
Trades? I'm calling it a three-trade fix.
It is almost a three-trade
fix. We tried to look at, like, okay, we've got Vic Law. Vic Law is a one-week player on my team. No matter what, I think that's the plan I'm going to have. And so I can get him down to $1 million. You'll have $500,000 in the bank. But if you're putting that on top of a 250K player, you might get to Adnum.
If he hasn't increased.
But if you don't, I think you're shot. Like,
you are.
I just think that he's almost... Yeah, it is a big risk, and it's not one I'm prepared to take.
Although, if you've got Adnum coming into the double round two, you know, that's an option.
So you want to have a bit of cash in the bank.
You'd need
to
have some cash.
You need to think about that, because it could be three trades to fix.
And do we all have McCarron and Majet heading into round one?
I do.
It's a pretty common combo.
No.
I mean, if you've got Zunic in there as well, are you playing one of those guys at six man?
Not at present. I don't have... What? None of McCarron.
You know McCarron.
Okay, you're fading Macca at the moment. Yeah.
Wowee.
So that is just something else I wanted to.
You haven't watched Banksy's captains yet then.
Who?
Great head-to-head questions coming up next. One from Mitch. Creek, Patterson, both or none. I've got Patterson in my team at the moment.
It'd be Paddo for me over those two.
Yep.
Out of those two.
And it definitely isn't both for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be both for me either.
If Creaky looks all right, he's a potential candidate for my week one law trade to Creaky. Get Creak in for week two. Jeez, remember that last year? It was Operation Get Creak, and it turned out to be disastrous. Mm. So, yeah, he's a candidate, but probably I'm not even all that high on him, to be honest. And the discussion with Liam...
Liam
talked him up as an MVP candidate, but... The fantasy.
That's
it.
And I think we talked about that on a previous pod. We talked about there's
a lot.
Other people there that...
Hershey.
There's people there now that are probably pulling board numbers and that sort of stuff. So there's not going to be as many double-doubles. He's going to have big games. He's going to have big scoring games. He has to if Phoenix are, you know, they want to be the real deal. They want to be in the finals. So,
You got Chi and Pinot crashing the boards. You got Rowdy, who's supposedly going to be... having a peak season. Craig's not going to have the fantasy numbers he did in past seasons.
I'd be going Paddo. Paddo's looking good. He looks like he's fit. Looks like he's firing.
Yep.
Brisbane's got, what have they got, double in round three?
Three, yeah.
And then in round six again, so...
Less valuable in round three. The round six one's valuable, but... Yes. Look, the Craig thing that had attracted me was that dual position. Having Travers, McVeigh and Craig, you can do wonders with that. With that trio, as far as position flexibility,
if you'll play McVeigh,
which I'm happy to play McVeigh
on a double. The thing that I would think of, and the thing I keep thinking about, is Paddo as well. Two seasons ago, we wouldn't have any questions about playing Paddo on singles, etc. He was even, you know, he was captain choice,
45 average,
exactly 48. I thought it was the previous year,
maybe.
Anyway, No, that might be Machado. I'm getting mixed up. But anyway, Yeah, but and then obviously you had the down year last year. You know, I think he's back.
And
he's
I think you can. Vengeance. And I think you can actually have a side with none.
Not in my side.
Yeah. At the moment. So you've got a none.
Neither of those.
Yeah. I have none.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So none is viable. We're higher on Patterson than Creek. Banksy, next question. Tough one.
NBL news. Better C option at around $1 million. Yanni, Magne, or
Joe Cheese. So
I'm going to talk red flags here.
Yeah.
Yes, please do. We've already suggested
Joe Chi red flag. We talked about that earlier.
We've done that one.
If it's not his ankle, it could just be the quarantine, not quarantine, the travel,
yeah,
etc. situation.
Domestic flight.
And considering that
international flight,
you know, they've got Pinot there who could start like tomorrow. So why not just
be comfortable? Yeah. As a Phoenix fan, I'd feel comfortable.
First game in, Joe Chi.
There's no need to take risks heading into round one. It's too early for risks.
Exactly. Yanni's the same. Like New Zealand, we're aware of two players that aren't training, that aren't allowed to train because they're going through the COVID thing. We don't know who it is, but
roulette.
It could be. Well, 2 out of 14 or 15 on their roster. So
yeah,
if you look, I don't know. There's a red flag there. I like how Yanni's looked though, so that's really hard. In the blitz, he's looked really good. In maybe not as big a minutes as you would maybe think, because he's definitely the starting center there. But bit of a red flag. Magne, he's a little bit cheaper than those two guys. I think he's looking lean.
Same schedule.
He's got a good schedule. He's got that's it. And I think he's going to get. There's plenty of minutes there. I think Magne's the
safe
move there.
Yeah.
Safer. Correct. Safer.
That's the best way to phrase it.
Yep. Perfect. But I reckon Joe Chi come around too.
Yeah, this is the thing. Yanni and Joe, for
both,
that matter.
Yeah.
Like at least
take the risk away from both of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic way to answer that one, I reckon, fellas. Next one's another tough one, I reckon. We've got Nate Turner. Now, I don't know if this is still your situation, Nate. You got really early with the question, but if your team is still looking like this, we'll have our best go at answering it. So what are your thoughts on Usman Dieng from New Zealand? Obviously, flag again. Looking at him for my power forward spot and deciding between him and Magne. Now, if he does pay up for Magne, though, he needs to change his bench, which he's kind of happy with at the moment. So flags aside, we might do it. We've already know how we like Magne. So, what do we think of Dieng?
I think he looked good in that game where Abercrombie was out from the start, as we saw in the blitz. Yeah, there's a red flag there because we're talking about New Zealand again. And I would think that he would be probably classified as, I guess, the key word they use there. Well, pardon the pun, is key.
Key player, that's right.
So, key players. Because there's two. I would think he is possibly a key player to them, being that he's their next star.
Not without risk.
So I think there's definitely a red flag there. But
maybe we'll know. That would be the nice thing.
That would be nice.
We talked about the backers a little bit with their role.
It doesn't matter because Tasmania play the first game. So
true.
Nate would need to know about Magne. I'm pretty high on Magne. He's in my team. So,
and here's the thing. We know what Magne can already do in the league. We've got
yep.
historical data there.
Yep.
We know he went on that stretch when he got the start of averaging 50 to 60 points.
Yep.
And now he's in this Tassie team with not a lot of depth in the big man department. You play it safe.
Yep.
God, I just realised we've got another Magne question next up. Banksy, to start sit though, and it's the same one that I've got. So,
this is... Don't give me this one.
From Nate.
Why would you do that? Who scores more round one, Magne or Majuk on the double?
As in Majuk, Majuk.
Majuk, Majuk. Yeah, the guy who burnt me severely last season.
So what...
Season before.
Every season.
Are we all in this boat? This same situation at the moment? No? You're not a...
Majuk fan?
Okay.
I'm not a Majuk owner.
Okay, so I am on...
Currently?
So at the moment, like I said, I've got him starting ahead of Magne. I reckon I can get 60 out of him, and I think I'll take that.
We'll hold you a foul out after a quarter, so there's going to be minutes there.
Yeah, that's part
two,
of it.
Two home games.
Yep.
There could be some blowout minutes. They do play Cairns.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the way you'd go as well?
And look,
you can't actually say his name. Say the sentence. My name is Matthew Banks.
I can't say it.
And I will start. Majuk. Say it.
Can't say it.
Wow, that's some serious... We need some sort of therapy for Banksy, I think, if you can't say it. But I think that, Nath, that's the way we're looking at that one.
Well, it's the argument we always say. You've got two chances, right? So what do you think? What's the ceiling for Magne? Maybe a 60?
Yeah.
All right, so do you think Majok could pull 230s?
Well, that's kind of what I'm aiming for. We always...
Do you think Majok's more going to pull 220s, and that means 40? Yep. Will Magne hit 40?
Use your own projections, I guess. So.
Will Magne come out and play 30 minutes? Correct. He might still be eased in. He might play low 20s. He might not get those minutes straight up.
Yeah, he did have a 48 in 23 minutes, though, in that last game against Cairns. The key thing for me would be maybe matchups looking there as well. Magne's got to go up against his old side. He's got a bit of no love for the Bullets. So will he play a bit of vendetta?
Narrative.
It's the first home game for the Tassie team, the new team
against the old team.
I'm going against the grain. I'm going to back Magne to outscore Majuk.
Very good.
We didn't answer his question at all.
What was it? Who scores more? Yeah, I did. Magne. Yeah.
So you,
I'm going Magne. Magne. You two are going Majuk.
I'm going Majuk.
But those two.
And Banksy's going to therapy.
Benny's biased because he's got Majuk on his side. So just beware of that.
Oh, I've got the exact decision, and that's the way I'm lining. I can easily go with what you said.
Magne.
You said so. Mm-hmm. So next question from Fairsy is also a scenario that I am in. I am bargain shooting guard position shopping. So who's the best shooting guard? Cheapy. Fairsy's got 620K to spend. He suggested that because there were so many players missing in the Blitz, the Cheapy's got more minutes and they're likely to get in round one. Originally, Fairsy went Kevin White. We've already talked about him. There's also Krebs, Kenyon, Isaac White, Lowe Bullock, Rasmus Spark, and now possibly Prewster or Mojave King. Pretty yuck, right? As I go through that list, anyone that stands out to you fellas?
Mojave seems safest out of that bunch.
So that's who I've got in my team at the moment, starting on my court for round one.
The two that played decent sort of minutes and regular and maybe more looking like their normal lineup would be Kenyon and Krebs for mine. But I don't know. I don't know if those guys continue to do that. Kenyon's obviously on a brand new team. So, you know, did we see what we think we're going to see? Maybe not. They're going to still work out a few things, like whether McDaniel plays more of the two there and or does he slide up to the three to start off with, and then maybe Kenyon is getting those minutes behind there, or will McDaniel more play more two, which means Kenyon probably won't see as much minutes. Bit of a funny one. Krebs is the other one. Like, I think they even had him running the point at some in the Blitz at some stage. Some stages. So
they played no one in that last.
No,
game.
No, not in the last game. I was
earlier.
I actually didn't see the last game.
He does bring the ball up a bit.
Yeah,
you're right.
He does bring the ball a bit.
He's a good player.
So you know, but it's too risky.
There's two safe things with Mojave.
Schedule.
You've got schedule.
Yep.
So even if he is fairly average, you're going
to
get the double games there.
Yep.
And the other thing is the flexibility. If you need to get him out, shooting guard and small forward.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And Fairsy, this is what my plan is, and I don't know if it'll help. I've also got Law, so 1.5.
Mojave plus Mojave equals
plus,
2 mil.
Yes, so we're about that $2 million mark. Now, there are a bunch of outs that you can do from that position. So I would research them because Mojave is the yuckest part of my site when I look at it at the moment. But I really want to pay up for Ryan Brokhoff, and that means if I'm paying down at shooting guard, Mojave is the man that I can afford. But he's only going to be a one-weeker is the plan at the moment. So try and look at your schedulizer, get to the schedulizer, try and plan out with a little bit of salary cap what you might try and do and see if you can do, you know, more down, king up, happy days for round two. I just want to know what you guys are doing. So I know Banksy's got the cotton in and out. How's that sitting at the moment? Cotton in or out?
I don't know. There's going to be a lot of time spent tomorrow night going through those scenarios. And
I think Bordy's even going to tell us what he's doing.
No, I'll tell.
Okay.
Something we haven't touched on.
I'm actually just playing around with it on the fly. Anyway, okay.
we've got to be if you can, you've got to be very up to speed with the news as we head into tip-off. I mean, even Travis, something we probably haven't mentioned, he's under a flu, question mark.
I wouldn't say flu. There was it just said illness. Kev White and Travis had illness.
Or illness. Mm-hmm. Flu-like
could have
symptoms.
They could have had a dodgy taco.
Apparently, it wasn't good enough to get into Dr. Boyd's segment. So, no stress there. That's right. So...
still.
All right. That's the fantasy full court. We ready to adjourn?
I thought we were talking about... did you want to know what I was doing? Banksy was doing?
Yeah, okay.
Shooting guard?
tell me.
You know what he's doing.
Rowdy and what?
McCall.
Yeah, McCall's kind of sitting in there at the moment.
He hasn't stopped talking about him all preseason.
Yeah, McCall's in there with Rowdy, but I've been playing around with it a fair bit.
Beautiful.
I really don't know.
And just worth mentioning, if you're still developing your team and you've still got many questions with your team, the best way to get some feedback on your team is to get in our Discord chat.
Mm-hmm.
It has been extremely active over the last few days. People are posting their teams in there and gaining feedback. So do yourself a favor and get in there.
And now it's time for Banksy's Captain.
Hold up. Banksy. Banksy's captains is already out.
I thought you put me on the spot there.
Yeah, no. There was some panic.
I'm not prepared.
No, people. Banksy, tell us about how captains is looking, where people can find it. I'm not going to put it out in podcast version. I'm going to get people too used to the new way that this is going to happen. So,
well, it's a much more professional version of video format. It's actually just gone up. So, posted the links, the snippets on Twitter and Facebook already, but you've got the full version available over on YouTube and soon to be up on our website, basketballblokes.com as well.
Yep. So, the thing with this is that from round four, this video format will be exclusive to Patreon supporters. So, you can sign up to our $5 choice captains, bro, tier. And... shit, that's not great. But Banksy's captains will be posted solely on the Patreon page after that. You'll be able to see it. We'll have a consistent time for Banksy to release it. Yep. And if you want your captain's advice, we know he's good at it. That's where you'll be able to find it going forward. But for now, check it out on our socials, YouTube, website, as Banksy has suggested.
Perfect. I think that pretty much wraps us up tonight, gents. Been a long one. Yoo-hoo. With our Liam interview, which will be out around about the same time or what have you. As always, we are on Twitter at @bball_blokes for any of your questions up until the start of round one. Facebook's Basketball Blokes and the website, including, I did mention it, Dr. Boyd's injury list is actually on the website now. And you'll find all links to all our most updated information.
And live scoring.
And live scoring as well. Oh my lordy. Just look at that. Maybe just save it as your homepage. That's probably the best thing to do. www.basketballblokes.com. Until next time. Ciao.
Let's go.